In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today we celebrate the prophet Elias. And so we have readings about him in both the New Testament and the Old. And I don't know what I'm going to do right now. I might do one of my ideas, which is completely different than the way I usually want to preach. Sort of the rule of preaching is you tell people what you're going to say, and then you say it, and then you tell them what you said. So you kind of have a laser focus. But that's not the way I read Scripture. I don't read Scripture with a laser focus on a particular idea. Whatever comes to me in Scripture comes to me. It happens every day that I read things and they just jump off the page. Lately I've been reading, I just finished Deuteronomy, and starting then with Joshua. And I've been also at the same time reading the Wisdom of Solomon and then the Wisdom of Sirach, which is incredible. And also the Gospel of Matthew. So it all gets kind of mishmashed into one. And sometimes I read one of the epistles as well during the day. And Scripture is alive. Scripture speaks to you if you let it speak to you. It's not like a sermon. A sermon is one idea. And some people have this idea that sermons should be very, very short. You're unfortunate enough to have someone who doesn't believe that. But there's a lot of churches, sermons would only be 5 or 6 minutes. It would be one little topic, slam that topic, say it again, say it a third time, and then finish. But the Scripture is not like that. Life is not like that. You don't learn from someone that you love in a day or a week or a month. You learn over the course of a lifetime. And you don't even perhaps know exactly what they have said to you that has influenced you so much that you say they are an inspiration to you. Because life is full of time. So the Scripture we must give the proper time to, and we must read it with great attention, but openness to whatever it's going to tell us that day. Now, really, the Scripture has told me a dozen things. These four readings. And so I'll struggle to tell you maybe one or two, or maybe I'll lose control and tell you three or four. The one that hit me the most is like what I was talking about last night, my favorite story about St. Elias, how he killed the prophets of Baal, but then he was afraid and he ran away after a great victory. But the Lord strengthened him. And after that strengthening, he was able to experience God. God spoke to him in the still, small, gentle breeze. But Elias was weak. Just like Peter, in our story today, is weak. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me go out into the water. Command me." And so he does. And Peter gets out into the water. But then his human nature takes over, and he looks at the waves and the wind, and he becomes afraid. So he cries out, "Lord, save me." I relate very much to Peter. Both in that Peter would ask the Lord to do things that are above his strength. I do that all the time. And that Peter would fail and then call for help. And I do that all the time. And so these words of James that are about Elias ring very true to me. They resonate very, very deeply to me. And I hope they resonate very deeply to you, too. We're human beings. We're this mixture of great and terrible, of sublime and of stupid, of weak and of strong, good and bad. Sometimes in the same moment, all these things express themselves. It's really hard to figure out why we do what we do sometimes and why we don't do the things we should do. But we're made in the image of God in order to be perfected. We should never, ever forget that. And so no matter how foolish we might act one moment or one day or perhaps a year or 2 years, we're made in the image of God. And God is inclined to hear us. He created us, and we have no part with him, except that he wills that we do have a part with him. And so he is inclined to listen to us, even when we're foolish. I just thought of a story. One of the most important stories that I've ever read was about a woman who was a prostitute. She was walking on the road and she saw another woman that was in funeral procession with her only son. So she prayed for the son to be resurrected, and he was. A woman, a prostitute, who had just transacted business, but the Lord was inclined to hear her. That's how the Lord is with us. And so these words that St. James says about Elias ring very true to me. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven did give rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What does this mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. I'm a weak human being. I want to be strong. Parts of me have gotten stronger. Parts of me have stayed weak. But I know the Lord is inclined to hear me. I know he's inclined to hear you. And so, Elias, one of the greats of the Old Testament, fiery, aflame with zeal and love for the Lord, powerful, he had his moments when he was weak. So he's a man of like passions to us. But he prayed earnestly, and the Lord was inclined to hear his prayer. And so the Lord shut the heavens for 3 years and 6 months. Are there things that you want to pray earnestly about? I've got too many to list on a piece of paper, even if I use tiny print. There are many things that I pray earnestly about. And I know the Lord is inclined to hear me, and he's inclined to hear you too. You should never forget that. But remember that what St. James says here, he says, Elias prayed earnestly. Now, how earnestly do you pray? It's a good question to ask yourself. I'm not really a fan of rattling off the morning and evening prayers. If you say them with attention, fine. But if you say them to say them, well, not so fine. That's why I pray a lot from the Psalter, because the Psalter is earnest prayer. The Psalter is full of complaints. And then this expression of confidence that God will deliver. The Psalter is honest prayer. The Psalter is prayer from the heart. That's why I pray it so often. And then when I pray for others, I'm not satisfied to just say, Lord, have mercy upon Jim. But if I really feel something is wrong with some situation, some person is sick, some situation that is not changing, or just because of my deep love for that person, I pray extra. I pray longer, usually with the Jesus prayer. I try to pray earnestly. I don't really think I pray that earnestly, but I'm making an effort to pray earnestly, and that's what I would advise you to do. You can only pray as earnestly as you're able. You can only do as good as you are. You can't do better than you are. But you can get better than you are by struggling to do as good as you can do. So you should have earnest prayer. In social media, sometimes there comes up one of these questions all the time. It comes up very regularly. If you could say to your younger self of 18 years old, only 2 words, what would you say? For me, that's very easy. I would say, pray more. Become better at prayer by praying more. I should be better at prayer right now than I am. But I didn't learn that lesson until a little bit later in life. It's important to pray. Now, if you don't pray all that well, that's not a problem. Just pray earnestly. Just pray inarticulately, like a child. But pray earnestly, with effort. It's a hard thing to do. It's the hardest thing that you'll do in any day is to pray earnestly. Everything else is easy. even other religious exercises, if we want to call them that, of reading the Bible, coming to church, giving alms, helping the poor, taking care of the indigent, those things are easy. They might take time, they might get you tired, etc., but they're easy. Praying earnestly, that's the hardest thing you can do. But the Lord is inclined to hear you. That's wonderful news. So I beg you to learn to pray earnestly. Now there's another aspect of this praying earnestly that St. James brings about. I think it's critically important. I've told you about this many times. I think our root problem, of course, is our pride and how we're interested in ourselves more than others. This pretty much applies to just about every human being on the planet. And so we don't see other people's needs as we should. We don't feel empathy for their problems as much as for the ones that we have, or perhaps that the ones that are very close to us have, the ones that we love very dearly, our family and such. But there's a great battle going on right now. Satan is walking about roaring like a lion, trying to devour souls, and he's devouring quite a few. Faith is growing cold. People are confused. People are becoming more coarse, more crude in the way they live. And it's a terrible thing to see. As a Christian, you should feel this tragedy happening before your eyes. And you should desire for people to be healed. And if you pray for others to be healed, then God does something amazing. He changes your heart, with your permission, actually, because your prayer is your permission. You're granting him that he would help you, that he would be allowed to help you. Because if you don't allow God to help you, he won't. So you pray for others, including people that you don't like, including people you have conflicts with, including people that you think are silly or stupid or evil. And God changes your heart, and he softens it. And so the things that trouble you become unimportant. They become quite distant. The things that you thought important before are not so important. So praying for others is absolutely a necessity to make progress in the Christian life. Praying earnestly for others. So here are the words of St. James that I think apply to this idea. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we pray for others. We try to convert sinners from the error of their way. It's not just for me to do, or for a bishop to do, or a deacon to do, or maybe somebody trained in theology to do. It's for you to do, to care about everyone and to pray earnestly for them and for healing to come about in your heart as you pray for them. Truly, this is very good news that God is inclined to hear our prayer. It might not seem that way sometimes. It doesn't seem like that to me sometimes. I never stop believing that he's inclined to hear my prayer, but there's a certain kind of buzz in my ears. It's like, come on, you've been praying for this for a long time. Nothing's been happening. You know, there must be something wrong with you. I never think that God is not inclined to hear my prayer, but I often think I'm on just not worthy of him to hear my prayer. Well, that's true. But remember the story about the prostitute. There's a lot of stories like that in our literature. And Elias was a man of like passions to us. And yet he prayed earnestly, and the Lord heard his prayer. Remember that. Remember that the Lord's inclined to hear your prayer. And then Pray a little better. Don't be so lazy. Don't just rattle off prayers. Every one of us should find a time every day to pray with earnest desire and effort. Alone. Hopefully quiet. If you're like me and you're kind of freaked out by any kind of noise, even the noise of the refrigerator humming, I wear protective earmuffs, you know, the kind that you'd wear if you're operating a chainsaw or something. I wear those when I pray oftentimes. Keeps things pretty quiet. Pray every day with desire, with effort. Other prayers are good too. There's no doubt that you should try to say your morning and evening prayers and things like that. And sometimes we don't pay that much attention to them. And sometimes they feel kind of flat. But you need to continue doing things like that. But the most critical thing is to pray earnestly. So as your priest, that's all I care about teaching you. I want to teach you to reach out to God. If you reach out to God, He's going to grab you. He's going to tell you everything you need to know. Much more so than I could tell you or St. John Chrysostom could tell you. Because God is the one who speaks to the heart. None of us do. We just speak to the ears. God speaks to the heart. So, I beseech you, my brothers and sisters, take this to heart. God is inclined to hear your prayer. And you must struggle to pray earnestly. So may God help you to do this. That's very good news. God wants to hear our prayer. Now we must just provide the effort. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.